Well, it's an ongoing battle with my glasses. I can't really see who you are, but I certainly will be able to see the text I'm working on this morning. And my wife says, whatever you do, leave those glasses on or off. Don't you just love your wives? They have such good advice. That didn't cost you nothing. It's actually Valentine's weekend, and I could go on and on about that, but I won't. I probably would dig a hole so deep you wouldn't be able to see me up here, and so I'm just going to leave that one alone. My wife asked me this morning, am I afraid, or I don't know how she put it. I said, I'm overwhelmed with the privilege to share Jesus Christ. And that gives me a lot of foreboding inside of me, because I know that where I come out in life may be different than where you are right now, or where you're at in your journey of life. And my story may be totally different than yours. But you know, there's one thing we have in common today, I hope. And if not by the end of this, thank you, Willie. If not, hopefully by the end of our time together, you will understand a little more why we're here. And as you know, we've been preaching, Lynn has been preaching on the second coming of Christ. And right away, the question is, or what is your reaction to that idea? Does it give you fear? Does it give you joy? What does it do? I've entitled the message, Living Life, Anticipating His Return. And I like that. I had a different title, and I gave it to Kimberly yesterday, that takes care of the bulletin. She called me back. She said, Dad, maybe you ought to put in anticipating. And I like that word. Because we are anticipating Jesus' return. There are so many things about life that calls our attention. And before we know it, we have become so busy and we forget why we're even here. Family, work, church. And those are probably very important things to consider. And the list goes on. You can name it over and over again. How many times have you heard, I just don't have enough time? I just don't have enough time to do that. I just don't have enough time to read my Bible. I just don't have enough time to pray. Well, I'm here to tell you that this is a wake-up call for Paul Yoder. And it is my desire for us to feel the urgency of Christ's return. But at the same time, get excited about the return of Jesus to get His church. That be you! So I want to look at, I'm going to be going on a little scripture. There's a lot of scriptures I'd like to do, and I'm trying to decide if I want to read out of my, which I think I will if you just give me a second. It's a little easier for me to get the scriptures off of my phone than it is to flip through the Bible, and there's several ideas that I want to talk about. The first one is there really is no shame in living for Jesus. In Luke, let's go to, well, you don't have to page with me because we're going to really go for a ride. I can tell you that right now. But in Luke chapter, well, this may not work as good as I thought it would, but we'll see what happens. In Luke 9:26. Anyways. I was afraid this would be the case, but that's all right. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. First John 2:28. I can see this is going to change my whole approach here today, but that's all right. And now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him in His coming. Living with eternity in mind. And I don't know what that means to you. Do you wake up every day and you think about, well, today may be the day God comes or Jesus comes back? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but do you think of that stuff? How many observe the sunrises? How many observe sunsets? How many observe the stars? You ever sat out under the sky and looked at the sky and stars and think, I wonder what it'd be like if Jesus would come right now? We need to keep alert. Keeping watch, Matthew 24:42. I'm not going to turn to it. Keeping watch. There's really no shame in serving. You say, what does that have to do with the coming of the Lord? How do you show Jesus? By serving other people. Staying awake. Say, I'm awake, wide awake. Revelation talks about staying awake and looking and observing, wanting to go when Jesus comes. There's an account in Matthew about Matthew 25, the virgins with the lamps, keeping their lamps burning. Don't let the light go out in your heart and life. I didn't take no cotton this morning. My mouth is kind of dry. Keeping the light in your life burning. You say, well, how in the world can I do that? Number two, persistent in your prayer. Luke chapter 18, I'm going to read that, 1-8. Then Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And I'll just sidebar this. The Sunday school class today, if you weren't here, pretty incredible story of King Herod in Egypt. How God hardened his heart. How God used him to speak to the children of Israel. Quite a story. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. There was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Crying out to God. One of the prayers that I pray, not on a daily basis, but just about on a daily basis, God, keep me faithful to you. No matter what the cost, keep me faithful to you. And that could take on so many pictures. And I, you know, and with you here today, I know there are those of you that have experienced pain in your life. You have. You've been down to the bottom. But you've cried out to God, and God has brought you out of the pit and set your feet on solid ground. The story goes on and on and on and on, people. We're not in this for just fun. We're not here just by happenstance. We're not here just for kicks. And we have to know who we're playing with. We have to know who the field of adversaries is. And number one is the number one adversary is Satan himself. And he is out to deceive, to destroy, and take you down, no matter what the cost. It's why we have to cry out. It's why we have to pray, "God, keep me pure. Keep me ready to go. But I've got so many things in the fire here. You don't understand. I'm a busy man. I'm a busy woman. I got things to do." Luke 11:13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We have to ask for help. 2 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slow keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God or Jesus has a desire to know who we are. From the minute we were born, He wanted to know us. And He gives us an opportunity to know Him. One of the things that I've struggled with in my life, does God really care enough about Paul Yoder? And He does. He does. Does He care enough about you guys? Of course He does. Jack? He's 89 years old. Does God really care about him? Of course He does. You say those are foolish questions. But listen, let me tell you something. Reality is, if we're not careful, Satan comes in and he takes away the joy of living. Third, setting our affections on things above. Colossians 3. One to four. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Pretty cool, isn't it? So what do you have to do to be hidden with Christ? What do you have to do to be hidden with Christ? Putting on a new self. And you say, well, I've tried all my life to put on that new self and it's just not working. It's so easy to let the past in your life ruin what God wants to do for you. All I have to do is believe in Jesus. Believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and thou, the Bible says, shalt be saved. Romans 6:2, we have died by no, in other words, it goes on, it says in verse 1, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so grace may abound? By no means, we died to sin. How can we live any longer therein? Now, does that mean I'll never sin? Anybody here sinless? Not going to happen. But we count ourselves in verse 11 dead to the sin that comes to our lives. Jesus, who is called justice, also... That's not it. Sorry. Wrong chapter. Wrong book. I'm getting ahead of myself or behind myself here. One or the other. 6:11. Romans 6:11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So just in my counting myself dead to the sins I commit, does that make it good? Only because of this next idea that I have. Our sin becomes covered under the protection of God's blood when we are convinced that Jesus actually died for that sin. And you say, well, that's too simple, Paul. But let me tell you something. It wasn't so long ago that I actually believed that God died on the cross for my sin. See, that's crazy. No, it's not. If you can't believe that Jesus died on the cross just for you, then I can see why it's hard for you to believe that you're special to God. Because He would have died for me if there was no other one to die for. And you could say, well, that may be true, but that is true. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. All right, in dying then, there's something that takes on a different meaning in our lives. I'm not sure how to illustrate this. In knowing and realizing that Jesus died just for me, just for you, it changes my whole outlook on who Jesus is. Do you know what it does? It creates a desire inside of my heart to serve Jesus. Say, well, how come it doesn't work for me like that? I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't happen overnight. And you ask the question, how in the world do I let go of all that stuff that drags me down? How do I let go of self-pity? How do I let go of the world's out to get me? How do I let go of an unkind parent? How do I let go of being mistreated by my spouse or by my children or by my you see, the list can go on and on and on. How do you let go? How do I let go? Running, this is my next point now. This will tie in a little bit what I just talked about. Run with patience. In James chapter 5. Did you ever before have a race to see who could get the scripture the fastest? In school, kids, you ever do that? You never had Bible drills where they give a scripture out and boom, the quickest one got there, got to read it? That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Well, I'm kind of not that fast here. But anyways, James 5, 7 to 9. Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient He is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Jesus is coming. Be patient. Don't become weary. Galatians 6:9. Oh, my. I forget where these things are. Kind of takes a... There it is. Don't become weary. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And how many times, if I took a show of hands here, have you been tempted just to throw in the towel? And it's interesting. A farmer goes out to plant, and he plants that seed without ever really knowing that he's going to get a return on that crop. Isn't that true? And really, people, we're a little bit like the farmers. We place our trust in Jesus. We live from day to day. And unless we have faith to believe that Jesus is going to return, then what we do mounts to a hill of beans. It's a pretty tall order. It takes a lot of faith to believe Jesus is coming back again. But we allow our trials, we allow our temptations, we allow our failures and our misgivings about life to make us stronger, to increase our faith. And I'm telling you, without faith, I couldn't exist. I could not exist. And you know, trials produce in us a perseverance to hold on. And I don't mean to sound gloomy. I don't mean to sound, oh, I'm just going to barely hang on and to make this through. No. Wow. And I'm not trying to say we're just barely hanging on and Jesus, come back right now so I can hang on till you get here. No. Life is worth living, people. Life is worth living. All right. What is the reward? What is the payoff to you being faithful? All right. Most of you work in a public arena. Most of you rub shoulders with people who can't stand the name of Jesus. Am I right? Even if you work at Byler's, you get some people that don't like Jesus. Just kidding. But let me tell you, people are going to make fun of you. And if they're not making fun of you, then maybe you're too timid. Maybe you need to say something. Maybe you need to tell them that Jesus is the reason why you live. Now, is that always easy? No, it's not easy. And if you've known me long enough, you know I've got people in my life that can't stand my guts. Well, maybe not quite that bad. But there, I have guys at work, and I love them dearly. I pray for them every day, and I pray God some way, somehow come in and change their lives that they'll see Jesus. That's how I feel about them. But they're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. Second Peter 3:3-4. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has been since the beginning of the creation." You ever heard that before? Worship team, you can come up if you want. Revelations 22:12. The reality is, people, whether I like it or whether I don't like it, Jesus is coming back. I didn't say He's coming back today. Huh? "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." There you have it. He's coming. I can't wait. Ooh. But wait, what did I... Did I do something I shouldn't have today? Let me tell you something, people. God forgives the sins of our past. He forgives our sins today, and He forgives our sins tomorrow. Isn't that neat? So all we have to do is trust Him. I'm ready to trust Him. What song are you guys singing? Yeah. If by any stretch of the imagination today you felt God saying, "You know, I do spend a lot of time living for myself. I do have a certain amount of fear when I think of Jesus coming back." Don't be afraid, people. God's made provisions for us to come and to be a partaker of His covenants, His love, His... We're going to sing this song, and if you want to come up and pray, you want to talk, whatever, feel free to do that, and we'll sing the song, and then you can consider yourself dismissed, however God leads you. Thank you so much.